One of the obviously essential elements of Hilchas Nida, but not limited to Hilchas Nida, is being able to not establish the facts, but to, well, I guess establish the facts for yourself, and particularly in a situation where you're not the one who has control over matters. So the primary issue, the primary focus of our siman, Kuf Pehe, is about the nemanos of a woman. Now, why is it that a woman is an emenes when it comes to Nida? What's the real answer to the question? Yehuda?
Otherwise, you won't be able to live life.
Correct. In other words, sometimes the conclusion is so obvious at the outset because it's impossible otherwise. And I want to point to you to one particularly astounding example of Nemanus, not on the Makaros, of a woman. I don't even know if she has to be Jewish. And I think the Rishonim more or less say that. The Gemara is a Gemara in Kiddushin. I believe Daf Ayin Dalet Amid Aleph, which says, Amar Rav Nachman, Shlosha Nemanim Al HaBachor, Eilu Hein, Chaya, Aviv, V'Imo. Chaya La'altar, Imo Kol Shiva, and Aviv La'olam. So Chaya, what's a Chaya? A midwife in Rabbinic Hebrew. In the Rashi, Ki Chayos Heina quotes a Medrash that says, V'chi Chaya, Eina Tzricha Chaya. Okay, but that's a crossing of dialects. The biblical Hebrew word is a mialedes. So a chaya is believed immediately. The mother is believed all 7 days. The father is believed always. Kidetanya yakir yakirenu yakir kiyasabachor ben asma yakir yakirenu lacherim. Mikan amar Yehuda neman adam lomar zemini bechor. Shneim shalomar zemini bechor. Kach neman lomar zemini gushav zemin chalutza. Okay. Now, what's the makor for the fact that a chaya and a mother are nemanos?
Well, what if the father's not there?
Well, no. The assumption probably is it's a probably good assumption that Bisman HaGemara, the men were not present during childbirth. That's a fairly good assumption. That phenomenon is a fairly recent phenomenon. It used to be, it was the woman, the midwife, and other women in the family who were present during childbirth. It was probably not too common until relatively recently that you have men, typically husbands slash fathers, in the delivery room. So, what?
Room.
Well, it's the room where the baby's being delivered. That could be your den. I hope not your kitchen. So the question is, why is a chaya nemenes? Why is the mother nemenes? These are matters of mamanos, of yuchsin. So I think the Ran writes here. I don't think Tosfos, I think it's a Ran who writes because it's just the only way it can be. So I think you have to start out with that premise, that on some level, a woman has to be nemenes anita because there is essentially, I mean, there is a way. You could insist, and it still doesn't fully do what Nifa Nemanus, but you could insist that the wife do the bedika in the presence of the husband and he inspect the bedika cloth, which is probably highly invasive and unpleasant. Not a good recipe for shalom bayis. So, not impossible, but, and it wouldn't solve the problem of what if she bled at other occasions and the husband wasn't there and she could cover it up. Mati.
Hargasha is important.
Good, clever. Relies upon her for Hargasha. Okay. We could give ridiculous answers to solve that problem, but I'm not even going to go down that road, Yehuda.
Also, we have to demur that at least point how Rashi read it, there's on the Karachi, that if you do the Dika, she'll not be, that he won't want to sleep with her afterwards.
You're just reinforcing the point that libo nokvo porsh. But I'll tell you what the difference. No, that's not a raya. Come on, that's superficial. In other words, to say that the 7 days that she does bedikos, he has to inspect and watch, that's one thing. But if every 5 minutes she's checking herself, after once she's become Torah, he said, did she find something? Did she find something? Right. So, again, this is trying to deal with the absurd. We know it just cannot be. However, of course, you have to think in the reverse direction. Okay, so let's take it as a given that the woman has to be nemenes, and we have a makar. Right, what is the makar? B'safrala, liatma. Right, so presumably, that drasha was an inevitable drasha, but now the question is, what does it teach us? In other words, it's not just, we're not necessarily going to stop with, okay, you know, she's believed on Nida. Well, what about all sorts of other things? What about an Eidachar in general? Now, obviously, part of the problem, the starting point in this issue, is that normally to establish something in halacha, what is required? Edim. Edim. And Edim come in a particular flavor. They're adult males who are not gazlanim and ganovim and all sorts of other things. You know, when you you don't... I forget who I copied this from, but you know, under, you know, when you have Edim at a chuppah, you want to make sure the Edim are not kroven to each other, to chasan and kala, but you also want to know the Edim are not psulim. So my experience usually is chasan and kalas, you know, when there might be a shayla, they'll ask me before, you know, what does it stand for Edim, and I'll say that they have to be, as far as you know, Shomer Shabbos and Shomer Kashrus, and, you know, there shouldn't be any obvious deviations from the norms of the observant Jewish community. You know, but I'll ask people under the chuppah as a joke if either you've been convicted of a felony in the last 5 years. That wasn't my line, but the point is...
Just ask their professional gambler credits, like they were in Wall Street, might be so.
But is it possible...
You say that as your scholarship is being underwritten by people who probably made their money there. Be very careful about biting the hand that feeds you, Metzger. Okay?
That's why it'd be a joke.
If none of them existed, would it be this expensive that we'd have to be
Schleien, Rosh Yeshiva and college professors need to eat also, and as it is, they're not paid that well. So,
better than high school teachers.
Okay.
College professors? This is just from personal experience.
There was a question here before I was... before my mind of thought was disturbingly interrupted. Yes. Do you have a question? No. Okay. Edims. Edim are required. So obviously, this is a larger Shas topic of when you know, we can't... The Rambam has a line. It's in relationship to the first parak of Bava Kamma when we say that avadim are psulim for Edims. And the Rambam makes a comment that you might think that we would accept avadim because they're the ones most typically found in stables around the animals, and they're the ones who are going to know who was responsible for Nezek. And the Rambam says, till the Torah tells you that you don't accept their Edims. Right, so there's always a question of establishing what do you do when it's difficult to have Edus. Bizman hazeh, most batei din, none of them operate with Edim. None of them operate with Edim. So they all do like pshara karav ledim, and the parties accept, you know, because you couldn't function. You know, it's actually not easy to function, you know, when in most cases if you don't have any types of umdanas. So there are lots of data and anecdote all around Shas that deal with what I'll call, I know, the liminal situations where you just can't have Edus. One of the examples, it's also striking, it's a Gemara in Ksubas da Pevav or Pehei, and it's a good lesson for the Yeshiva Bachurim, is that Rava was being done in Din Torah, and he was going to be, I think, Mechayev, a particular woman, a Shvua, and his wife came up, his wife, Bas Rav Chista, said to him, you know, she's chashuda, she's not trustworthy. So Rava took the shvua and he flipped it on to the other party. Right? He didn't paskin straight out that way, he was mapich the shvua. A similar case came up later, and Rapapa whispered the same thing to Rava, and Rava said, nothing doing, and Rava had the person go ahead, and Rapapa says, you know, I'm different, he says, you know, how come, you know, how am I different than Bas Rav Chista? And he says, Bas Rav Chista kimli begava. I said, lo kimli begava. In other words, I know when she tells me something, it's true. So for formal purposes, he wasn't going to be motzi maman al piyah, but he knew that she was telling the truth, and he did what he could as a responsible dayan of when, if someone's chash al shvua, flip it to the other side. Whereas Rapapa, he said, I don't have as much nemanus in you, and your trustworthiness and accuracy. He wasn't saying Rapapa was a liar, he said, I don't have that. It's like a Gemara Ksubas. No, I'm not making this up. You know how there's a my oldest son has a sefer called The Sages Showed the Way. It's a beautiful sefer. It's just a collection of stories in Chazal. Really, really, it's highly recommended for kids and maybe even you guys if you're not, you know, Bikin Agados. But I think want someone to write, because it's a lot of beautiful ideas and ethics and Musar and so on. Just by quoting Mari Chazal, I want someone to quote these Gemaras too, the ones that sort of throw people's head for a spin. Because there are a lot of them in Shas that aren't rabbinically politically correct, let me put it that way. So, you have a fragile.
This is not politically correct.
Well, it's actually...
Yeah, I mean, you believe the woman and not the rabbi? Rabbinically politically incorrect. Anyway, so...
In the family recently?
What?
Similarly in the family, I think it was Rapapa and Rabba also. I think Rapapa, Rabba maybe pushed from Rapapa with, a Gemara. And then, doesn't this contradict what you said? And then they answer, and they go, now it contradicts what you said. No, I made that one up. I was just testing if you made it up yourself.
It was in Nazir. There was a Gemara, not exactly like that, but yes, he was just probing his Shita.
Yeah.
He wanted to see. That's different. Anyway. But there are, look, you know, there are some pretty, there are Gemaras that, you know, don't fit to the very, you know, standard party line, you know, of Amoraim. So anyway, so this is really a large question for Rashas. How do you function in the absence of formal edus? One Gemara, which I'm not going to ask you to look at, but it's worthy of mention, is a Gemara in Shavuos. I think it's Daf Mem Beis. Maybe I'm confused on the source. Where the Gemara in Shavuos proposes that there's a machlokus about how Eid Echad works b'Shavua. Right? There is a din. There are three Shavuos that are min HaTorah, where a person has to take a Shavua in order to pater him or herself. There's Shavuos Mod B'Mikzas. There is Shavuos HaShomrim. That's the most complicated one to construct. And then the Shavuos Eid Echad. Shavuos Eid Echad is when you have a kofar bakol. He denies owing any of the money. But an Eid Echad says he owes the money. So there's a din. If the person has to take a Shavuos, the defendant has to take a Shavuos to pater himself. And the rule is, as Rava points out in Ksubos, Kol HaNishba, it's a Mishnah actually in Shavuos, but Kol HaNishba in Shabbat Torah, Nishba in Velo Mishalman. That's the rule. All the Shavuos HaTorah are to swear and to exempt yourself. You never swear to collect in the Torah. So you have a Shavuos Eid Echad. If the defendant refuses to take the Shavuos, then he has to pay. Now, the Gemara presents two tzadim. It rejects one, but the Gemara was suggesting that a certain machalokas within the din of Shavuos Eid Echad was totally upon whether an Eid Echad is Mechayev Shavuos or an Eid Echad is Mechayev Mamon. What does that mean? You should like this Shavuos. A Chakira without an Afkamino. I'm kidding. The Gemara wants to say that one tzad is, Eid Echad basically is Mechayev you to pay. But the Torah doesn't attribute full Nemonos to the Eid Echad, and it allows the Baal Din to take a Shavuos to contradict the Eid Echad, to undermine him. If two Eidim say you owe money, you can swear up and down and right and left, you're still going to pay the money. But if one Eid says it, you have the opportunity to swear in order to pater yourself. The other tzad is to say, no, basically an Echad is not Neman, but an Eid Echad is Mechayiv Shavuos. In the event that you refuse to take the Shavuos, so then you're Chayiv to pay. Right? But in effect, that's almost asking the question of whether an Eid Echad really is Eidus, or an Eid Echad is not Eidus. It's just, I'll call it Nemonus if you would like. So that, I think, is sort of a question that has to be explored throughout every sugya. One sugya that I've added to the Makaris that I haven't sent yet, but I'll tell you what it is the opening sugya of the 10th Parak of Yevamos, which is I just didn't get to because I didn't get to give it to you, but I knew it was there. And only Nagar has done that Gemara that I know many years ago with me, and the Yeshiva did Yevamos. But that sugya is one of the primary, it's not the only one, the primary discussions of Eid Echad. There it's by Eid Echad, by Eidus Isha, right, to allow a woman to remarry. So the Gemara there talks about other aspects of Eid Echad as well. Yes?
Isn't that Neman like Beitrei? I can believe one.
No. So that normally, Neman al-Kachay means is like Hodas Baldin. In other words, that would be a case where we have a Din Torah, and I say, I'll accept this person. I'll accept his testimony, even though he's only 1 8, and he might be a Karov 2. That's what normally it means.
But I know that Moshe uses it to allow to some very strange things, like believing non-Shomer Shabbos relatives and eating at their houses, believing the food is kosher.
Okay, so I'd like to actually curious to see that. I've never seen a specific tshuva. So but that's bringing now into the question of, what if it's not Eidus, what is Ne'emonos? And I think that maybe there are different ways, and you can think about it, because this is the introduction to this year. And for those of Shua, you should consider yourself fortunate, because 5 years ago, by this time in Shua, we would have been halfway through Siman Kuf Pei Hei. But here I decided I want to explore some topics, and I know that you'll enjoy it in particular, as some others will as well. So today I want to start. We're not going to spend that long, but I want you to think about what are the possibilities with an Eid Ahad. How does it function? What is Ne'emanus? And part of what I think, I haven't seen the tshuva, but the answer there, I think, is a question of an umdana. Now, why is it, by the way, that an Eid Echad, one of the reasons offered in the Gemara that an Eid Echad is Neman by Eid Osisha, to say that the woman's husband died? I don't know if any of you know. One of them is that Milsa Davida Lagluli Lo Mishakre Yinshi, which I'd like to say is only a chazaka. It's not, it can be disproven sometimes. Unfortunately, we live in a world that sometimes we have milsa de gluye de mishakri enshi, not avida de gluye. The word milsa avida de gluye means it is asui le higalos, it is likely to be revealed. We have people who lie about things that are, you know, aleph beis right in front of your face, and they still lie. But it's a chazaka. It's a presumption that most people don't want to get caught, proverbially speaking, with their pants down, right? Because you say something, and then all of a sudden you're exposed to be a liar. Right? People don't like that. People have a sense that telling the truth is generally a sought-after quality, and getting caught in a lie, particularly a lie that was for your own benefit and to do whatever, is a bad thing. So when you believe in Eid Echad there, that's an effective form of a chazaka of human behavior. There's an umdana, basically. I would say, I don't know what Moshe's tshuva is, but if you in certain cases, and I think we'll make it particularly for Balei Tshuva, who have, let's say, someone becomes Baal Tshuva and they want to eat in their parents' house. And their mother is going to accommodate every one of their needs and buy the kosher food and only use the pots and pans for them. But technically speaking, there's still a question. Firstly, how much do you have to see? Do you have to see the package, double wrapped, you know, double sealed? Do you need shechos amas? And how do you know that the person knows that his mother didn't use the dishes for some of her tray stuff, even though she puts it in a separate cabinet, right? All sorts of immunis issues arise. So I think in that case, and especially because there's a reason to want to be mekel, there's an umdana kemat demuchach, that the mother is not going to do something that she knows, you know, would potentially really create an enormous barrier between her and her child, and which is also a little bit biyada, right? And so ordinarily, you don't give nemanus to people who are not shomer kashrus or shomer shabbos, right? But in unusual circumstances, there's an additional reason to assume that the person would not, you know, do something deceptive. So the issue basically becomes one of an umdana. So I think that we can talk about sometimes an Eid Echad could be a functional umdana. That may not always be that way. Sometimes it's not really an umdana because the umdana could be confusing. For example, by an isha and a nida, right? Is there an umdana the muchach that she's not lying? No. Not necessarily. What if her being a nida, and this happens, this is something, and I probably said this earlier in the year, you have to know when you answer nida shailas, that there's often very serious issues of shalom bayis involved. Shalom bayis can be, they're having trouble, the woman's having trouble becoming tahora, and the inability for the husband and wife to be intimate can strain a marriage. I mean, one day is not going to strain a marriage, but if it's a prolonged, you know, difficulty, or if it's a repeated difficulty, it can create stresses. And that's just the way it is. Two, you can have a woman in a situation, a woman forgot to do a bedikah, right? And there's a shalom bayis issue because the husband might get angry because she wasn't paying sufficient attention. Right? I'm not saying it was or wasn't her fault, but you can imagine there are scenarios in which a spouse is upset because they think that the spouse isn't doing everything they could. So thus, you can imagine situations where a woman would, on the one hand, she cares about Taharas HaMishpacha. On the other hand, she's feeling a lot of stress and pressure. So is there an umdana demuchach that she's not going to, is she always going to tell the truth? Not necessarily. If something that she thinks she can't get caught on, maybe not. I'm not saying that most women would do that. I'm just saying, I'm not sure that you can automatically appeal to umdana there. In some circumstances, probably yes. Some circumstances, probably no. So the alternative, of course, is that maybe there is some type of ne'emonos. Right? The case anyway, we have to sort of explore the Eid Echad a little bit. Where does Eid Echad come up in Shas? In a lot of places. The question would be, the crucial question would be, where is Eid Echad clearly functioning mid the Oraisa as an Eid Echad? I'm just going to talk a little bit now, but I don't know if we're going to explore it fully, but outside of Shvuas Eid Echad, And how do we know? How do we know that there's what's the marker for Shvuah Seid Echad? What's the pasuk? Thank you. Brick is narrowing it down for us. Now we are down to one of 5,845 verses in the Pentateuch. Okay, you just cut out about approximately 1,500 or so. Excellent. Okay. And you could have told me it's probably not in the first 11 prakim of Shmos either. But how do you know it's not a pasuk like Yiranasha Puruhu? Okay. Tana, do you know? That's for Moda B'Miksas. Asherim Akiyuzeh. Okay, but somebody knows something. Okay. Lo yakum eid echad bi'ish l'chol avon l'chol chatas. L'chol avon l'chol chatas hu de'inokam avokam hu l'shvua. Okay, so that is a marker for that. Anything else that would be de'oraisa? You see, interestingly enough, why do we believe in eid echad by aguna? Is that de'oraisa de'rabana? What? That's not answering my question. That's just quoting a Gemara. It's a big machlokas harishonim. Tosus claims it's akira stavar menat Torah bekum ba'aseh, but it doesn't look like it, so it's okay. It's bididami. Other rishonim say that between the umdana of the chazaka of isha daika umintzava combined with all the penalties you impose upon her, that it actually works with oraisa. There's an umdana that she's going to check out and she's telling the truth. Okay, that's a big machlokas harishonim. There's no explicit makar there, though, for it. In other words, it's going to be based upon some type of umdana. Okay? There's at least one other place where eid echad is a did oraisa. It's a very interesting case. Very good. Say that louder, please. You remember what by sota? No, but you're getting warm. The din by sota, in order for a sota to be asur, by sota the din is first you need kinui. Okay, the husband needs to be mekane la. It's a machlokas, but we assume, Tana the Mishnah assumes you need two edim for kinui to be valid. If after there's a valid kinui with two edim, the woman has a yichud with two edim, it has to be two edim. Some tanaim hold one for one or one for the other, but we're assuming for the Tana the Mishnah, the first Mishnah holds two and two. After she's had yichud with two edim, then she is required. Then she's asur labayla mishum sota / safek sota. Okay, but she has to drink the waters of sota. And if she can't, she's asur lolam. If, however, an eid echad comes forward after the edim of kinui and the edim of stira and says, "I saw that she was actually nitmes," it's not that she had yichud, but that she actually had bia. That eid echad is enough to prevent her from being able to drink the water. The eid ain ba v'hi lo nispasa. So they say, when I first learned this drasha 30 years ago, I was learning, we had a chavrusa in Sota with one of my best friends from high school, and Rabbi Tzarfati, I don't know if any of you know him, was also, this was like a Shabbos gathering. And I think Rabbi Tzarfati understood what the drasha was. I could not figure out for the life of me what the drasha was. What does aid mean? It says aid. What does it mean? Two aid. V'aid ein ba v'hi lo nispasa. That teaches you that aid echad is neman betoma. And I couldn't understand what it meant until I read what the Gemara is saying is that v'aid ein ba, there are no two aidim, but there is aid echad. And we believe that v'hi lo nispasa, that she wasn't raped, that it was voluntary, and that he saw it. It's a very strange drasha. There's a reason why it's hard to figure out, firstly, what the drasha is. But the aid ain't bought, there weren't two aidim, but there's one. That part I understood. And we believe the aid, that the aid ain't bought, but there's one to say, v'hilon is pasa, that she wasn't raped, but she did it voluntarily, and that he saw it. As the aid ain't bosh, it's believed to say, v'hilon is pasa, and she doesn't drink from the waters of the sota. So that's the other place that I know of, at least offhand, Eid Echad has a makor it's nema midoraisa. Why is the Eid Echad, give me one second, why is the Eid Echad nema there? You need two Eidim for Kino, you need two Eidim for Stira. Why is the Eid Echad nema by Tuma? Tuma, that's what we call Eid Tuma. The Gemara says why. Svara is obvious too. Thank you, exactly. That's where one of the places the expression is used, is Raglayim Ladavar. In Eid Echad who comes, there's a sugya in Kiddushin, in the fourth parak, a very important sugi as well. Eid Echad's all over the place. About what happens if an Eid Echad comes and says to husband, "I saw your wife commit adultery." So if he believes her, if that's the case, by the way, who said Neman Kemetre? If he really believes it, then it becomes like a Shavi Nafshi Chaticha Disura. But if he doesn't have to believe the Eid Echad, if he doesn't believe the Eid Echad, he's not Asura. by the same svara that, well, okay, I'll leave it at that for the moment. But Eid Tumah is not normally believed, except for when you have Eidus Kina and Eidus Stira, then an Eid Tumah is Neman that she can't drink because Raglayim Ladabar. Moshe had a question?
Why does the word Eid in that case prove that it's only one Eid and not in other cases where it writes the word Eid in the Torah?
How do we know that whenever it says Eid, it means two Eidim? Is it Ki Yakum Eid Hamas Be'ish? And they learn, I forget what's the makor that every time. Oh no, when they learn from Yakum Eid Echad Be'ish, everywhere else where it says Eid, it's not Echad. I think that's the makor. The Gemara has a drasha somewhere about how do you know that Stam Eid or Samur B'Torah, when it says Ki Yakum Eid Hamas Be'ish Lanos Bo Sara, that means two Eidim.
So why is the Sota case different?
It isn't. The whole point is the Torah is saying this is a case. Again, it's such a hard drasha to figure out. Ve'ed ein ba, the Torah says there were no two Eidim against her, but b'mashma, that there was one Eid.
Oh, okay.
That's the easy part of the drasha to figure out. It's to realize that we believe that Eid to say, v'hi lo mispasa. That's the part that I initially could not wrap my mind around. So, David?
But doesn't the Torah at the end of the given that you gave us say that Eid Echad Be'esur is midoraisa, is like Ne'aman based on Nidon and stuff? That's another derisa, no?
Okay, so that might be the makar, right? So hold on, but what we're still working our way through this, but that becomes a broader lima number one. Number two, again, I'll agree that we might use that, but your starting point, we knew that then already. How much is the pasuk telling us what we knew already? How much is the pasuk serving as the binyanah for everything else, right? We knew, as we established at the outset, that Nida has to be believed for herself. Right? By the way, it's not Tosis doesn't ask the question only from Nida. It's not just the invasive question. How many of you eat in your mother's kitchens? Okay, that was a metaphor. Eating in your mother's kitchen doesn't just mean you plant yourself at the table and bring your own food. It means how many of you eat the food that your mother cooks and prepares? Not everybody's raising their hand. Okay. I apologize if there was someone who comes from where it's not kosher. I didn't want to embarrass anybody. But it means we all, you know, people who come from observant homes, all eat in their mother's kitchens. That's the way it works. So how do you know? Now, so today the answer is, you know, your mothers don't have nemanos on nikur hachelev. You know why? Because almost none of them know how to do it. Maybe some of them do, but I don't. My wife doesn't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. Oh, she often observes, by the way, her grandmother, you know, who was Orthodox, but not really observant fully, certainly not fully observant. Her grandmother knew how to kosher a chicken. She, you know, her chicken comes wrapped in plastic, she likes to point out. Her grandmother, who had no formal Jewish education, knew much more, actually, about how you deal with many things in a kosher kitchen than she does, because the way we deal with things is you go to Glad Express and you get in a plastic wrap.
In my father's hometown, there was a shiksa that worked. He would refer to it that way. But basically, she was almost married to a Jew in the end because she was the one who knew the most cautious in the town.
Okay, there you go. What is this in America?
No, it's Romania.
Ah.
So she was like the one who knew the most about having matzahs, and so she was very relevant in that, and all the, and Bertila, and all these things.
She might as well have been Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so the point is that you know that you have to, we always do this. It's Maisim B'chol Yom, right? The premise of Tosis's question is going to be Maisim B'chol Yom. And we just know it is. It has to be. Yehuda.
So
would we believe a woman if she did Shechita and said that she did? The answer is probably yes. But more, the issue they'll deal with is not a woman doing shechita, but that she bought pasul shechita.
Well, to phrase it differently, the whole idea is that it's biyada. I'm not talking about shechita, bought pasul shechita.
Oh, we haven't gotten to biyada yet. Right, the question is...
To people who don't know how to do shechita, that's my question. Or who don't know how to kedika a basa.
No, of course not. Oh, well, yes, it does, because they could bring it to a chacham. Because they could bring it to a chacham.
They could. But then it's got to be biyada, and the whole point of biyada would be...
Let's just wait a minute, hold on. Okay, so we really have to think a lot about what exactly, so Nagar says the third thing, I don't know of anything else, the third thing is the makor by Nido, and that could serve as a larger heter, but the question now becomes one very important question, under what circumstances is an Eidecha Namabisura. Now, one other Gemara that's worthy of mention, I think that, I don't know where the Gemara is. It might be in Makos, it might be in Kresos, or not. I know the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Sanhedrin. It's a famous din. What happens if an Eid Echad says this is Chaylev, and then someone goes and eats it in the presence of Edom and Hasra? Does he get Malkus?
Yes.
The answer is yes. An Eid Echad can establish things as facts, and if it's not challenged at the time, that becomes an accepted fact as if it were almost to Edom. And therefore, then when you eat that Chaylev, that is a din of Vada Chaylev. Now, it's complicated because let me add one more thing into the mix there. The Gemara has an expression, which is "Komakom she'amina tarei echad, harei ukevei trei." Not so simple, but that's what in situations where the Torah accepts a single witness, it's like it's two witnesses. Now, you have to figure out what that means as well. Does that mean that it's edus, or what's the alternative? The alternative is that you don't need edus. And therefore, if we trust Ein Echad, just like two is like 100, Treis Kameh in Edom context, maybe in Umdena context, one is like two. Okay, so now that I presented you enough material to confuse you, let's take a look at the Makoros a little bit. So let's start with the Gemara in Nida, which is in the middle of nowhere. Tana Rabbanan, Yitzi, can I impose upon you to read? Okay, not Yishanos?
Yishanos,
yes. Okay, don't confuse a Yashin and a Yashan, don't confuse a Zakain and a Zakan. Okay? Even though Zakanim probably used to once upon most of them had Zakanim or Zakanos, whatever the plural is. Alright, now, one of the things, firstly, this is a very interesting line, just sociologically speaking. What do you see about Beis Ha'Evel and Beis HaMishneh? It's a very strange, if you just think about it in our context, it's very odd. What is a Chamor?
A donkey
driver. This is the chamor, patach chamatz. It's an uman pattern, like ganov and balon and sapor. So a chamor and a gamol, a donkey and camel drivers. Okay? What is characteristic of a donkey driver?
Long trips.
Not as far as a gamol, and maybe not as far as a sapon, but nonetheless a long trip. An uman, so an uman, you don't know what a zumanus is. Boy mi beis ha'evel. You tell your wife, I'm going to pay a shiva call. When will we be back? Oh, 2 weeks. In other words, if you go to the beis ha'evel that day, so you say, ha'boy mi beis ha'evel, n'shem l'mecheskes tara, because that morning she wasn't anida. You come back that evening, you would assume, because you went to the beis ha'evel, you went to pay a shiva call, 2 hours later, you come back and assume, oh, well, I have to be choshe, she's anida now. That's ridiculous. Obviously, when they went to a beis ha'evel or frequently what that meant was traveling to another town and being away for a week. A Beis HaMishta especially, but both of them.
Would
yes,
they,
Yehuda?
Or would they stay there for a while?
What?
Sorry.
Well, first of all, couldn't it be that they stayed, well, it's similar to what Shai was saying, but first, I don't think it'd be 2 weeks. It might be exactly 1 week.
It might be a week, yeah.
I mean, no, because it can't be
yes.
Travel more than a week to get the Beis HaEvel.
You guys, the married guys, you hear that? When your friend gets married, you tell your wife, I see you in a week. I'm going to party for the next week. I mean, that's what this is.
No, but my point is, Beis HaEvel, your scenario is impossible, because unless you know he was going to die, or you killed him, you can't know in advance. You have
but maybe you go to the next town, maybe it's a day away, maybe it's a day away, you go, and you, or you know, you could, you're there a day later, and you come back 6 days later, when the shiva's over.
It couldn't be any longer.
A very long shiva call, but nonetheless.
Because you'd be like, you have to, you know, someone would have to get there to tell you that he died.
I know. He could have been a gosase. It could be a town away, you know, it's a day away, but you don't, you know, half a day's travel, you're not going to go back and forth. It's not like you get in the car and it's 20 minutes away. What I'm pointing out is that the Beis HaEvel and Beis HaMishneh, today, you go to a wedding, even if you go to Sheva Brachos too, you go to the wedding, you know, unless like you travel, you know, to the other side of the country and you might stay 3 or 4 days. Normally, you go to a wedding, you come home that night. Right, but you understand this. You just see from the Bryce. Remember, the Bryce is talking about people who are away for some period of time. I assume at least a week. At least a week.
But the point you just made, your point, is that when we have to travel that length of time, we have to go to Israel, we do stay 3 or 4 days.
Right. Frequently not. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Very often it's a day or two and turn around. I'm just highlighting the fact that when you say mibe haboy, mibe se'evel, mibe se'mishta, it's not our most common scenario. Let's put it that way. Okay. And their wives obviously weren't going with them. Yes, Yasi?
Why do you assume a week that doesn't happen?
Well, because the party lasts a week, and the eva lasts a week. So,
the entire time.
What?
The assumption is that if they're going, then they're going to go the entire time.
That's what I think. I mean, the truth is, when you look at the concept of shushbinim, it's usually through the duration of the Shivas Yemei Mishta. It doesn't have to be, but I think that's the sense one gets. And this Brisa simply reinforces that. Zach?
I still don't really understand why. I mean, the Cheskos Torah should be based off of, I guess, time, more or less, right?
Yes, hold on. Okay, so let's start here with another very important Shas principle. Chazaka. There are two kinds of chazakas. Some of you, those who have been here this year before this year, have not heard this. Some of you might have heard this. Okay. I have a question for you, Mr. Perla. What's in this Gemara? What Masecht is it? How do you know? Okay. You know that sometimes there are covers that are misprinted. Okay, so you're just trusting me. You're assuming, no, you're actually choshe me. You assume I don't know Shas Bal Peh. So therefore, when I open up the Gemara, it's because I need it and I'm reading, I'm following Monida. But imagine for the moment I show you. It's Gemara Nida. Okay. What's inside this Gemara now? What Masechta? How do you know that a little angel didn't come, sprinkle a little angel dust in front of your eyes, you didn't see it, and he substituted another volume? The answer is, it's possible, right? Not likely. The answer is we rely upon chazaka. That's called the status quo chazaka. There is another kind of chazaka. I gave an example of it earlier. A chazaka de milsa davide le galuye lo mishakwe inchi. What kind of a chazaka is that? What?
Statistical.
A statistical one. Right? There was a beautiful, it's one of my favorite examples in Shas, and it came up in Nazir again also. I forget what the context was. About Ovid versus Imo. Oh, but Mitame, Thomas Cohen, Thomas, you know, Cohen be Mitame to Ovid v'Imo. So the question is raised, if he can't be Mitame, if a Nazir can't be Mitame, Ovid is in the Kavachomer li'Imo. So the Gemara says, no, it's not necessarily a Kavachomer li'Imo, because Imo, you know who his mother is. Your father, the father is only a father based upon a chazaka, that Robi Ilo Sachar Abal. Right? There's a famous story, I'll tell it once for the year. About, it's probably apocryphal, but it's a great story anyway. Zach knows what's coming, which is the story is, I heard it, and that be, maybe it's, if you substitute your own rabbinic figures, was that the Beis HaLevi asked Reb Chaim when he was a child, if I asked you to get a glass of water, and your mother asked you to get a glass of water, who you get it for first? He said, for you. So his father asked him, but your mother is your mother B'toras Vadai, I'm only to your father B'toras Rov. To which he responded, yes, but if I were to get my mother a glass of water first on that basis, there could be no greater sign of disrespect for my mother. So anyway, the point is that the mother is the mother B'toras Vadai, the father is the father B'toras Rov, right? It's a chazaka. It's a chazaka da asimi koach ruba that robi ilos achar habal. The chazaka we're talking about here, Habayim and Aderach, the Shein Lehem Cheskes Tara, is the status quo chazaka. Because the din will be, what if when he left, we'll see, what if he left, she was a Nida, he has to assume she's a Nida until he gets verification otherwise. Now one of you was being bothered by the question somebody was asking about how many days have passed. So that's an issue. In other words, if she has a Vestas Kavua, and based upon his counting, she should now be a Nida, he doesn't rely upon the chazaka if she has a Vestas Kavua. But if she has a Vestas Kavua, but there's enough time for the Vestas Kavua to have come, for her to become a Nida, and enough time for her to have become an Unnida by going to the Mikveh, he can assume, he relies upon the Chazaka. She was Tahora, she remains Tahora.
Chazaka, the whole point of Chazaka is that this has been true the whole time up until now, why would we assume now that it's no longer true?
So I would argue, by the way, that that's a case where we have a dual Chazaka. The Chazaka, initially it's a Chazaka based upon status quo. Later, it's a chazaka based upon behavior. Enochanami. I'm not sure. That's an important question. Are we basically saying because we don't know that it's changed, and even if it's changed, it could have changed back, therefore we're following the status quo? I'll tell you why I might think that, because what happens if a woman is tmeya, and then the husband comes, and it's been enough time for her to have gone to the mikveh. There, he's not allowed to be bala until he asks her. Right? So there, the status quo chazaka wins over what you might be the chazaka of dasi mikach ruba. So in other words, the status quo chazaka may win. It may be a status quo chazaka merely because we don't know that it's changed, and even if it changed, it could have changed back, or it likely changed back.
But at a certain point, it is likely to change.
We agree on that. We agree. So we would say, the Rishonim will say, that if she has a vesis kavua, and it's at a time where she wouldn't have had enough time, you can't assume she's tahora. But if enough time has passed, in other words, if you skip over that block, and you know nothing, you don't know that she became a nida, but you don't know that she went to the mikveh, she didn't become a nida, there it may be that you rely upon the original chazakah. So that's an important question. One could come up with nafkaminas between them. Yehuda?
Can we assume status quo chazakas that most likely have changed no longer work?
So that's an... That's
Yes.
I'll give you an example. The opening sugya in Arum Masechta, which you should do because it's a gevaldig sugya. Right? The question is, kol anoshim dayan shaitan. So they ask the kahal, but Beis Hillel says... that mipkid l'pkida, you go back as far as the last time she did a bedika, she was tahora, you assume that she bled right after that. So the Gemara, it's one of the major sugyas, many major sugyas about chazaka, ask the question, well, one second, what happened to the chazaka? And the answer is that there's a reyesa begufa, because she's expected to get her period.
But let me give another example.
And she got her period. And now the question is, when did she get it?
Again, 30 years later, do we assume that they're not married still? Do we assume they still have
the
chazaka of not being ishadish? Because most women
are men. No. Whoa. Slow down, man.
Right, so
you made a big jump. You have distinguished between, and I know these two are mixed here, but you have distinguished between assuming some. Let's assume. Do we assume something has changed? A, when it happens from a mela versus B, it requires a human agency. There's a big difference between the two. I think we would say, and that's what's going on in the first sugya nida, when it happens in the mela, when it's automatic, that we're much more likely to assume it's a weak chazaka. But we do not say anywhere that a woman loses her cheskas panuya because a lot of time has passed and most people get married. Absolutely, positively not.
But the other thing we would say in the cheskas nida, who's past puberty is the cheskas nida. No, who we think is past puberty.
The question is, in what context are you really invoking that? I don't know that we would say, I'm not, so you have to think carefully, come up with a sort of a nafgamina, do we... Okay, this is not...
I assume they become a nida at a certain point, even though we never knew that they were nida.
So I don't know if we would give Malkus based upon that.
You think you would not give Malkus based on assuming they become a nida at some point?
I don't know if we based about. Well, it's complicated also because you never know. They could go to the mikveh too. But
they can't go to the mikveh.
What?
They can't go to the mikveh.
Of course they can go to the mikveh.
Okay.
You ever hear something called the ocean, the river,
yeah.
The beach?
Yeah.
You ever hear of borrowing a ring and going to the mikveh in another community where they don't know who you are? Come on. That's the tshuva of the Rivash. The Rivash never actually says, and the Rambam doesn't say that they're not allowed to go to the mikvah. He just says that they don't. In other words, the Rivash was really asked, why don't we have women go to the mikvah? His answer is, well, we don't need them to go to the mikvah because we're not observant of Taurus anymore. And doing so would just, all it would be for Bia, and that would be a takala. Right? He never actually says there was a takana against Lan, but we don't. As a general rule, if a single woman, I think, I'm not saying there are exceptional circumstances. What?
Mishapura says,
That is not practiced anymore, for your information. Okay. Okay. Maybe in Rodden they were all kulam kadoshim, kulam ahuim, kulam burim, kulam giborim, and kulam kadoshim. But today we don't do that, okay? Because, it's almost like asking for tovel v'sheretz biyado with a slight, I'll let you figure out the metaphor here. So there's a big difference, though, between a chazaka changing on something that happens in the mela versus something that requires human agency. Okay, fine. So now, continue in this, Brysa. Okay. So that's all we want from this Gemara. But I do have one other observation that should be made. Ba'aleha, ba'im b'sho any ma'im, ben yushenos, ben eros. What's the problem? You're not allowed to have bia with a woman if it's, she's your wife, if she's sleeping. Right? This has hashlachot, and I'm not taking a particular position, but it has relevance to understanding what consent means. Someone who is drugged or drunk, even if both parties are drunk, or someone who is drunk is not capable of giving consent. Someone who is sleeping is not capable of giving consent. That's not, I assume, a problem generally in our community. But it's hard to imagine anyway the person having a beer with his wife if she's totally sleeping, right? She's not going to wake up. So some of the, I think they say, that we shown to say, Eros can, Yeshenos doesn't mean that they're, that you know, that they're sleeping out cold. It means they're, you know the kind of the liminal state when someone, you know, talks to you when you were just about to fall asleep and it just like shakes you out of it. This is, there are these liminal states where you're not quite asleep, you're not awake.
What?
That's what I was about to say. That's nimbalonim, tir velo tir.
Wouldn't the Mishnah use that word? Wouldn't the Gemara use that word?
No, the reason why the Gemara says, what does Yushenos really mean here? It means you don't have, need a verbal assent from them. You don't, in other words, you don't need... What? Let me also explain this in a halacha context. For a husband and wife, verbal assent is not required. Other forms of assent are acceptable as well. I know in the new, in some places now, you know, yes means no. I don't even know what it is. But you don't need officially speaking, verbal assent. That's all it means. And you don't have to hear pronounced tahorani or tavalti. That's all. That's so the whole point of the brisa wasn't to teach you the din of derech eretz, right? Minhuchas derech eretz be as asur in many different contexts, you know. But in our particular case, Bein Eros, Bein Yushenos, because he doesn't need, he's allowed to assume, even if she doesn't tell him, and he has no further information. Yeah.
Doesn't it say Mid Remarim dot dot as Tomar lo Torah ani?
Yeah, if
so
she,
it seems like that's going both on whether she's sleeping or awake.
No, Bamed Varma, how is she? Was she sleep talking? No, the whole point is Bamed Varma Murim. When does he not need? When is he mutar in har Bein Yushenos, Bein Eros, without having her to say anything when he left the Becheskes Tara? But if he left the Becheskes Tamea, he needs her to say, Torani. By the way, lest one think that this is totally irrelevant, it's not totally irrelevant, although it should be. A woman goes to the mikveh, she comes home. Does she have to say to her husband, I went to the mikveh?
It's really obvious.
Exactly. Right? That's a discussion that actually is had. Right? Does she need to say, she told him, she made an appointment in the mikveh. She goes out. She comes back with her hair wet. Okay? Now, does she, before he can go over and kiss her or touch her, does he have to say, did you go to the mikveh? I'd imagine that that more than one yeshiva bachar who thought that he was required to do so got slapped by his wife for asking the question. Okay, anyway.
That's how he knew she went to the mikveh.
That's right. Exactly. That's very good. Except the question is it also to slap him when she's an Ida? That's a shayla, because that's not Negiya Shochiba. So, anyway. Fine. So, bottom line is, it's clear, what emerges very clearly from this brisa, if she says to him, Tahora Ani, in a situation where she's required to do so, she is believed. Okay? That's very clear. In other words, some cases you require her to say something, some cases you don't require, but you need, but she is believed. She says to Harani, right? Doesn't say, Achayom alacha, Tarani, Uponi, Uponi, Eda. She doesn't need that. Fine. Now, what is the basis for this? And now let's take a look at this, at the Taras Kohanim HaMetzorah. Go ahead, Yitzi. The Im Tara. Safra la la'atzma. That's really the line that we want. Safra la la'atzma. Now, al pipshuta shel mikra, by the way, although I'm not really sure, what is v'safra la shivas yamim? What's v'safra la? For starters, it may be idiomatic. You have by a zav. V'safar lo. Right? Do you have a drasha there? Maybe you do. I don't know. I didn't check. La'atzmo? That the zav is ne'eman? No, v'safra lo means on behalf of himself. It's really idiomatic. It could have said v'safra shivas emim achar titar. But that's sort of biblical language. You have it in Yecheskel also, Shivas Yamim Yisperulo or something like that. It's just an expression, right? And by the way, that would be a good example. Am I correct on that? Yisperulo? Does anyone know Yecheskel? Because Yisperulo is very strange. Yisperulo la'atzmo, they count for him, right? There can't be... Somebody have a bar... Chaim, you got a bar on there?
Yeah.
Do a quick search for Yisperulo. I think it's in Yecheskel. So it's not... It's an idiomatic. But Chazal Darshan, because the word is... would be, well, the sentence would be perfectly grammatical and sensical without that word, misafra lo, la'atzma. In other words, she alone has namanus. And this could be the malkor for edecha neman bisurin. The problem is there could be some limitations on that. Fine. So now, let's take a look at the Mishnah in Ksubos. This is a famous, what? Okay, and what's the pasuk? Yisperula. Right, go figure out how you're going to get a drush of Yisperulo that he's Nemon, if they're counting. Okay, fine. The Mishnah in Ksubos, go ahead. That's sufficient for our purposes. Okay, what is the common denominator of the first three? You can even talk about the fourth as well.
She's machshel him in something that he can't do.
She's causing harm to him. The first three, she's machshel him in Isser. In the fourth one, the Gemara says that Nederes ein mekayemis is mekaberes boneha. So he's afraid of losing his children. In the second half of the Mishnah, Das Yehudis are really all issues of tznius. Okay. So, it's a yeah.
So, I mean, isn't there another? There seems to be another
record
there.
Yeah, what would that be?
Does it say le isur? It says le shvua.
Kamhu be isha lahasia.
So that's for edus isha, and that's almost certainly an asmachta. Right, no one argues. Some Rishonim say Eidos Isha is the Rabbanon, and Akiras Davanat Torah. And the other Rishonim say that no, it's based upon an Umdana. Isha Daika Uminsava combined with Mitocha Chomer Shechmarta Labesofa He Kalta Labetchilasa. That's not gonna, you know, I don't think the Torah was anticipating the Takanas Chachamim of the Chomer Shechmarta Labesofa. Okay, so fine. So the question, of course, that Gemara has to deal with, and I think we'll stop with this, is how does he know? Right? Machilato she'ena ma'usar. Right? In this day and age, you know how you know that your spouse gave you tray food? You go into the refrigerator, you find the package with the, Tyson chickens or Purdue chickens? Right? You know, that's how you find that out. So, but in a world in which you don't buy your food in the store in packages, right? If you have grain, what is the physical difference between tevel and mesukan, right? The answer is nothing. It's a purely metaphysical difference. So metaphysical that you can do it b'machshava. I can look at the kri, and I can split it, and I can have this part have the trumas and maisis in, and the other part is completely good. Truma is v'nechshav lochem trumaschem. It's nitel be'omed u'b'machshava. So how do you know? Machilato she'ena ma'usa, right? It's a good question. Misham shato nida. Who knows except for her? In a kotza l'chala, you can tell the difference between the dough, you know, which has had chala separated, and dough which hasn't had chala separated? Of course you can't. Now, Deres Yehna Mekayemis is the one that it's possibly he's going to figure out, because she's always swearing, she's always promising, and he sees that she doesn't do it. So that was what was bothering the Gemara. But the assumption behind the question is, how does he possibly know? Because she's the one that the only one knows, because he relies upon her. In this case, when somehow we find out he's been relying upon her and she is unreliable, then he's entitled to divorce her and not have to pay a ksuba, because she is responsible for the dissolution of this marriage. It is true, by the way, one of the central elements in any good, healthy, and lasting marriage is trust. Not only about the kashrus of the food, but it's about trust more broadly. So, tomorrow we will finish this particular sugya, and we're going to push on ahead. I told you which sugya to look at in Yevamos, the first sugya of the 10th parak. I hope I send it out. And I also want you to look up the Yerushalmi about the Tosas quotes about Nashim Atzlani Yosein. Read carefully. Okay.